over the past few weeks, not including last week, we're gone, but over the past few weeks, we've been looking at that word simple. And so far, we've looked at three letters. We've got three down. We've got three to go. We've looked at the letter S, which stood for Scripture. And we've seen the importance of the Word of God, how that needs to be a daily part of our lives. We've looked at the letter I, which stood for intercession or prayer, the importance of praying, not only for our own needs, but for each other. The letter M stood for member. We are a member of the body of Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are part of God's big family, and we are called to fellowship with each other. And we've seen that all of these things, as we make these things a priority in our lives, the word and prayer and fellowship, that we will draw closer to God. We will find that our relationship with Him gets deeper, it's richer, it's sweeter, there's more joy, there's more peace that is in our heart and in our soul. And what we'll find is, even though our lives may not be easier as we do these things, there will be a simplicity, you could say, about our lives. There will be a spiritual simplicity that God gives us as we seek Him in these things. Well, the letter today is the letter P, and that will stand for the word praise. And maybe you can tell that by some of the songs that we sang today, but the topic is praise. So let me just begin right off with a question for each of you, and that is this: is your life filled with praise? Is your life filled with praise? And if it is, then praise God. Praise God that you're praising God. That's a good thing. But if not, if maybe you look at your life and you examine it, you say, you know, there's just not a lot of praising, maybe a lot of whining and complaining, but not a lot of praising that happens, then I pray that what is shared today will help you, that you might grow in this area. Would you want to praise God more in your life? I'm sure many of you growing up in school can remember the famous W questions, right? We would learn that there's the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why, and then they throw in the H, right? The how as well. I want to take these questions today because it will really help us to unpack what it means to praise in a genuine way. So today we're going to begin with the question, who? Who should we praise? Well, first off, there's nothing wrong with praising others. William shared just he praised other people for their impact in his life and some of the blessing that they have been. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But for the context of the message today, really the context is going to be worship. And so this idea of praise, in that context, praise is reserved only for who? You know the answer, right? It's God. God alone is to be worshipped. God alone is to be praised. One of the traditions we have here at Christian Faith Chapel is each week we sing the doxology. And that word doxology is rooted in a word that means praise. And though it is a tradition, you could say, I mean, there's nothing in our bylaws that says you need to sing a doxology every week. Or there's nothing in the Bible that says, hey, when you come together as a church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and when you take up the offering, right after the offering, what I want is I want you to sing praise God from whom all blessings. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says we need to do that. So it's just a tradition. And traditions can be, as you know, good or bad, right? Can be positive or negative. A tradition can be good because it can ingrain something in us. It causes us to think deeply upon something and really become a part of us. Some of you may be here today and you say, you know, I can't memorize anything. I've even tried John 3:16, can't get it down. I just can't get it. But I bet you this, that there's probably every one of you here has the doxology memorized. You may not think you do, but I bet you if you were to try to sing it without the words on the screen, you could do it. You might even be able to do two versions of it. Why? Because it's repetitive. It's becoming ingrained in you. And so in that sense, it can be a very good thing. How can it be a bad thing? Well, if it becomes so familiar that we disengage our minds and our hearts as we sing, then it can be bad. You see, if you just sing, oh yeah, here we go again. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I wish it would be quicker. Praise Him all creatures. If we sing it like that and our hearts aren't in it, we're not thinking about what we're saying. We're praising the God of the universe, the one who came to this earth and saved us from all our sins. We're giving Him praise and glory. If we're not thinking that in our heads and in our hearts, then tradition is not such a good thing in that moment. And so, though it is, yes, a tradition, one of the beauties of the doxology is that this is a very simple song that reminds us of who God is. God is our triune God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is who God is. One being, three persons. Have I ever met anyone who fully comprehended this truth? No, and you probably have. I know you haven't either. None of us can fully fathom this awesome truth, but that is who God is, and He is worthy of that praise. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says, or really God speaking through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. He says, "To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare Him to?" And the context here is idolatry. People were taking wood and metal and making this, fashioning this image and saying, here's our God, let's worship this thing. But yet there's a great truth there, and that is there is nothing that we can point to and say, well, that's like God, right, like that. That perfectly represents God. And people have tried to do it throughout the centuries, even Christians trying to explain the Trinity, right? They've used an egg and maybe H2O and a pretzel and all kinds of things to try to explain the Trinity, but they all fall short. They all come up anti-biblical because there is nothing that you can take and say, this perfectly represents God. No image, no created thing. You can't do it because God is like no other. Who should we worship? Obviously God. We should worship. We should praise Him. The second question is where? We're going to skip the what because that kind of ties into the who, but where? Where can we praise God? And the answer is? Church is a place, but really anywhere. Typically, when we think of praising God, we probably think of coming here on a Sunday morning in this building and offering up praise to God. But the truth is, we can praise God anywhere. You can praise Him while you're driving in your car. How many like to do that? Had an interesting thing happen on our vacation. We were traveling and all of a sudden we experienced these flash floods. And I don't think I'd ever gone through anything this crazy before, but within like 5 minutes, we're going through like 2 and 3 feet of water. It was incredible. But as we're driving 10 miles an hour with our wipers going lickety-split or whatever that mode is there, we're going as fast as they can. We can't see anything but sheets of water. All of a sudden, Jeremiah goes, "In the eye of the storm." And we all start saying, "You remain in control." So we just started to praise God in that moment. And it was one of the highlights of my trip. It was a beautiful moment as we just praised God in the midst of that storm, knowing that He was in control and He loved us. No matter what, even if we floated into the Atlantic Ocean, he still loved us. It was going to be okay. You can praise Him in your car. If Lydia was here, I was going to pick on her. You can praise Him in the shower. As I sit in my living room, I can hear her loud and clear from the shower as she sings at the top of her lungs. You can praise Him as you just simply take a walk, as you go out and walk along the road, as you ride your bike. Maybe you like to run. You can praise Him. You know, one of the beautiful things about going somewhere else and seeing a different part of God's creation is you're just captivated by his majesty and His glory as what He's made. And as you're running, you just want to praise God for who He is and for what He has made. You can even praise Him at work. Now, a word of caution here. If you're a customer service rep, maybe like a Geico guy, you probably don't want to say, "Hey, this is Geico Insurance, praise God from whom all blessings." I mean, I might like it if you said that, but I'm thinking your boss may not like that. So anywhere obviously doesn't mean, you know, anywhere given your responsibilities that you may have. But you just think even of some of the Negro spirituals and how these songs were birthed out of people, precious saints who were in the fields under the hot sun, under less than ideal conditions, often with harsh taskmasters, and yet they would praise God in the midst of that. And yet we may sit in comfy chairs or air-conditioned office, and we may offer up no praise at all to God during the day. May we just think about, oh, the praise that is owed to God and that God deserves. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 54. The psalmist says this: your decrees, which means your law, your word there, are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. The psalmist says, wherever I am, I may be lodging in Pendleton, New York, I may be lodging in Montville, Connecticut, wherever I lay my head, wherever I am, may your decrees, may your word be the theme of my song. Let me ask you this. Are your songs filled with God's truth? Think about the songs you sing on any given day. Are they filled with God's truth or with the enemy's lies? And for those of us who grew up under certain music, right, we may have to rethink some of the songs that we get caught up singing and say, is this really biblical? Is this really worthy to be sung? Are you able to praise him anywhere? Well, number three is when. Well, if where was anywhere, then when is any time, right? In our scripture reading today out of Isaiah, you read the prayer of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was deathly ill, about to die. And God miraculously healed him and added 15 years to his life. And in that prayer, this is what Hezekiah says: oh God, all of my days, I will praise you. And certainly from his perspective, he knew his life was just about going to be over, and God graciously added to that. So I'm sure every day he got up was just, this is a gift of God. I'm going to praise you while I have breath. Listen to what David says in Psalm 34, verse 1. He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. David says, his praise will ever be on my lips. Someone should make that into a song, don't you think? Ever be on my lips, right? It's a biblical song. And obviously, when we say anytime, you know, we don't mean that we're verbally praising God every second of the day. Right? Because that may actually not be such a good thing, because we have to carry on conversations. Imagine being at a restaurant and a waitress comes up and says, so, Carl, what would you like to, would you like some water, or can I start you off with a beverage? And you're like, shout to the Lord all the earth, let us. And she's like, okay, can I get you some food? And you just start singing praises. Obviously, that would be kind of rude to the waitress who's just simply doing her job and asking you what you want to eat. So, we cannot pray, we should not be praising him in that sense, literally every moment of every day. But here's the point. Our praise needs to be more than just this 1 hour block of time on a Sunday morning. If this is the only time you praise God, something is missing in your life. Something has gone haywire. Here's why we should praise God. And it really comes down to one word, and that word is worthy. Because God is worthy. Our English word worthy is, I'm sorry, our English word worship is actually derived from that word worthy. So when we worship, it's because God is worthy to be worshiped. God is worth it, you could say. Just the fact that you're here today is hopefully a statement that you're declaring, God, you're worthy of praise. That's why I'm here to praise you today, because you're worthy. You've heard the expression, put your money where your mouth is, right? What's the whole point of that expression? If something is important, something is valuable to you, you're going to say, yeah, this is really important, then you better be willing to reach into your pocket as well and back it up. And Jesus taught this principle, didn't he? When he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if we say, yeah, we should help the poor. Yeah, that's great. We ought to be helping the poor. And we don't give a dime to help the poor. Well, then what kind of statement are we making by that? The same principle is true in worship. If we say with our mouth, God, oh yeah, you're worthy, God. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of worship. But yet our actions don't reflect that, then something is off kilter there. God is worthy and he deserves our worship and praise. We read this in Revelation 5, verse 12. As John reminds us that God is worthy, he has this vision of angels who are encircling the throne of God. And here's what he encounters. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And praise. Why should we worship God? Because he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. Well, the final question, which I really want to spend more time on, is the how. How should we praise him? How should we worship him? And I want to answer this in two ways. One is internally, the other is externally, or you could say through the heart and then through the actions. We find these words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 when he speaks to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he says this in Matthew 15, 7 through 9. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Now the context here is the religious leaders were putting their traditions above the word of God. And so Jesus says, you guys actually nullify the word of God by your traditions. And what Jesus was doing here was really getting to the heart of the matter. And where was their heart, according to Jesus? He says what? It was far from God. They may have been saying all the right things, but their hearts were far from God. And if we're not careful, our hearts as well can drift from God. We can lift our voices in praise. We can recite the scriptures. We can lift hands in prayer. But yet our hearts may be very far from God. Our hearts may not be in the right spot. And so in the context of corporate praise, what we're doing this morning, corporate worship, I want to encourage you to do something, and that is to prepare your hearts for worship. Not only on a daily basis, but when you gather in a time like this, let me ask you, do you spend any time preparing your heart as you come to worship? And that could take place on a Saturday night, maybe a Sunday morning before you come in. Why is that so important? Well, because you may have a very rough Saturday. You may have an angry drive into church on Sunday morning. And it's not so easy just to flip a switch when you walk through those doors and all of a sudden begin to praise and to worship God with a right heart attitude. And so it's good to prepare your heart before you come in. And I can honestly say this. It's been my experience, though that is not the source of absolute truth. The moments when I have prepared the most to come and to worship, the moments when I've been the most eager to worship, have been some of the richest, sweetest times of worship because my heart has been prepared. I pray and encourage you that you would prepare your heart for worship and for praise. So important. And then secondly is our actions. In other words, if my heart is prepared and I am looking forward to a time of praise and worship, then I will want to be here. I will want to gather with believers. I will want to praise God together. As David said, let us exalt his name together. Our actions reveal how important something is to us. Let me say that again. Our actions reveal how important something is to us. And I love to be able to squiggle out of that and say, no, that's not really true. But when the rubber meets the road, it is. What I choose to do on any given day reveals what is really important to me and to you as well. I want you to think about it for a moment. Let's just say that there's some new, much anticipated movie that's coming out. And you've read the reviews. You are just, you cannot wait for this movie to come out. It finally comes out, it hits the theaters, and you actually get your ticket in advance. I think now, can you reserve your seats too? Can you do that too? You can even like reserve your seat. And even though your seat is reserved, you show up early. You sit through all those boring previews, right? The 15 different movies they show. You actually get some $10 popcorn and a $5 drink because this is such a... You wanted to see this movie so desperately, so badly. And as the movie's being played, you're at the edge of your seat. On the edge of your seat, you're enthralled. You're captivated by everything that's happening. Your heart is into it. You're thrilled. And you leave that place, clicking your heels, so excited that you got to see this two-hour movie. Let me ask you, how does that compare to a one-hour worship service? Is there a comparison there? Because the truth is this. What we're doing this morning, just an hour of our time, hour and a half of our time, doesn't compare. Doesn't compare with a two-hour movie that was millions of dollars were spent to make and produce, because what we're doing here is worshiping the God of all creation. We are worshiping the God who gives us breath. Worshiping the God who made us, who made all things beautiful in his time. We're worshiping the God who entered space and time and became a man and went to a cruel, cruel cross and laid down his life to save sinners such as I so that we could be saved. This is who we're worshiping. This is such an incredible moment. Do you see that? And I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher and I'm up here for a lot of time and you're looking at me and listening to me. It's not about me. It's about who God is and how awesome God is and our reverence and adoration of God and his glory and his majesty and what he deserves. He deserves our honor, our praise, and our worship. So let me ask you, what does your praise look like? What does your worship look like? Does it cry out by your heart and by your actions, God, you are worthy. God, I love you. God, you deserve my heart. You deserve my praise. You deserve my all, and I give it all to you. Just a word of caution as we close today. And then as we talk about corporate worship, please don't make worship, corporate worship, your all in all. What I mean by that is don't let what happens 1 hour during a week be your sole source of food and joy and delight, because there's other things that we need to be doing in our lives. Essential things like the word and prayer and fellowship and sharing our faith, these are all crucial. Don't put such a high priority on corporate worship that you neglect all the other things that are essential to living the Christian life. And not only that, don't put such a high emphasis on corporate worship that you now become judge and jury over the worship service. What do I mean? Well, let's talk about Peggy for a minute. You know Peggy, right? Sure you do. Peggy's a prayer warrior. Peggy's into prayer. Peggy loves prayer. Peggy always talks about prayer, which is a good thing. Peggy actually practices prayer, and that's even better yet. But you could say prayer is Peggy's, quote, soapbox. And so when Peggy comes into a worship service and there are songs about prayer, like What a Friend We Have in Jesus, that's her favorite song, by the way. And then the pastor preaches on the Lord's Prayer. And he asks people to break up into small groups and actually pray during the service. She leaves that worship service saying, now that was an awesome worship service. But if she had come in and, the topic was on something else, like maybe giving or serving, or maybe wives submit to your husband, something like that, she might leave saying, I'm just not feeling it today. I just wasn't quite what I wanted to hear. It just wasn't that great today. Do you see how our really selfishness, what we want, can often we can judge worship? What's wrong with that? We're not the ones being worshipped, are we? We're not receiving any worship. God is the one receiving the worship. So it is God alone who can say, now that was good worship, because it's to him. It's to him. Now, obviously, if something is unbiblical, then that's bad worship. But outside of that, it's up to God. It's up to God. What is good worship? So let me close with this. How do you praise? How do you worship? Is your heart so filled with a love for God that sincere praise springs from your heart? And is praising God such a high priority that you find yourself wanting to praise God more and more and more? Let's close in prayer today. Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, I know that we're all guilty of not praising you enough, Lord. I've never met anyone who says, I praise God too much. Lord, we all can praise you more, and so help us, Lord. Help us in the quiet moments of our lives and the busyness of our lives to know that you are worthy of praise. Lord, help us just to show by our hearts and by our actions that you are worthy of that praise. And Lord, fill our hearts with praise. We need to praise you more and more, not only because you're worthy, but because, Lord, it changes us. It changes our own hearts. It causes us to focus upon you, and so we thank you for it. And today, Lord, we thank you that Jesus, for what you've done upon the cross. And I pray that if there's anyone here who's never trusted in you, Jesus, to save them, that they would call out to you, that they would know that they cannot worship you apart from surrendering to you and calling out to you for salvation, so they would do that. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.